This edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience. Safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. And just a reminder that the very popular flights from downtown Vancouver to the El Dorado on Okanagan Lake have been reinstituted by Harbor Air. You can find them at harborair.com. Just sitting in the chair here, getting ready to do Tasting Room Radio for you. I'm Terry David Mulligan. You can find details for this show, as always, at mulliganstew.ca. Contained therein is the Mulligan Stew podcast, Mulligan Stew Radio, and Tasting Room Radio. This is our 15th year. Started in a studio in a barn on the Naramata Bench. I'm now in a studio in an old barn-like structure in Mill Bay, Vancouver Island. Now, this show just sort of came together, this particular hour. It's all about Australian wines. One in particular, Peter Lehman, which is a world-class wine, friends. When you talk about, as I say in the interview, you talk about branding. With the name Peter Lehman is Australia. It's about the Barossa Valley. It has incredible identification off the shelves. If you're surrounded by thousands of bottles, you'll see that Peter Lehman. And the cool thing is that they're making wines specifically for Canada, the Chardonnay for one. And the prices are reasonable, friends. We're talking 18, 19, 20, 21 bucks in that area. We touch those bases. Our guest is Tim Dolan, who is the winemaker at Peter Lehman. He's good at what he does. And he spent time studying cool climate wines and wine growing in Niagara. Couldn't believe how cold it was. We are going to taste, for your summer barbecuing, the Barossa Shiraz and the Barossa Chardonnay. Shakes your tongue and says, hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. Which is exactly what I'm going to say to the winemaker. Oh, by the way, the fourth segment is from the archives. And it's an interview I did at Top Drop a couple of years ago. And standing in the middle of the room was Mark Davidson, who is the spokesperson globally and specifically in the Americas for the wines of Australia. And he has since moved on and is living now in Des Moines, Iowa. We'll tell you that how that happened. And beside him were Brendan Keyes from BK Wines. He makes handmade wines. And Matt Folds, who is the man who makes Ladies Who Shoot Their Lunch and Are You Game? We'll talk about those wines as well. In this last segment of the show, we welcome back Mark Davidson. But first, here's a conversation with Tim Dolan, the winemaker at Peter Lehman. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Unsworth Vineyards is pleased to be part of this year's Cowichan Wine Festival passport-style tasting event. In addition, they will be part of an evening tasting party at Brentwood School August 4th, where you can taste all of the participating wineries in one go under a summer starlit night by the ocean. Details at unsworthvineyards.com. Hi, how are you?
Hey.
Okay, I'm Terry David Mulligan. The show is Tasting Room Radio, some 15 years on the air. You're Tim Dolan, and you are the winemaker at Peter Lehman, Barossa Valley, Australia. Welcome to the show, and nice to meet you. Thanks, I thought I saw in doing my due diligence on you a mention that you had along the... Because all winemakers, you know, they sleep around. They'll go where there's a vineyard... And where they can learn to grow wine and, you know, and make great wines. I saw a mention of Canada in there. Did you spend time here?
Yeah, in 2010, I worked at Hillebrand Winery in Niagara-on-the-Lake.
Nice.
For the harvest period, yeah. It was a great experience, yeah.
Did you go to make cool climate Chardonnay or what?
Yes, I did. Well, it was Chardonnay, Riesling really tickled my fancy. And I also wanted to look at, you know, cool climate red varieties like Cabernet Franc and Merlot and Pinot Noir. Just really get myself out of my comfort zone compared to the warm, dry climate of the Barossa.
How different was it from what you knew? Where had you come from? Had you come from Australia?
Yeah.
Where were the surprises in Niagara for you?
The quality was exceptional. That was the first thing I noticed, that, you know, the particularly the Rieslings that I found, they were astounding. Yeah. But what I wasn't prepared for was how cold it was going to be. And come November, I was just like, I've got to get out of here. It's too cold for me. And I hightailed it back to back to the Barossa, and Andrew Wigan, the chief winemaker at the time, had offered me a position for the 2011 vintage at Peter Lehman. So
did you thank him?
I did in more ways than one. Thanks for the job and thanks for getting me out of this cold, icy environment. It was a great experience. It was such a good team that I worked with at Illibrand, and the wines were fantastic. And it was such a, you know, it was out of my comfort zone, like I said. So it was such a different experience, and I'd love to go back one day soon.
But are you not astonished when you tell those stories down under? That they bury their vines, they have to cover them up with mulch and whatever over the winter, and that they come back and they actually revitalize themselves, and they come and they make incredible wines. It's just remarkable.
Oh, it is remarkable, absolutely. And you know, it's testament to how resilient vines and vineyards can be if they're treated correctly. Here in the Barossa, it can get up to 40, 45 degrees. They think most varieties say, hey, no problem, we can handle that. And then to go down to minus 20, minus 30 and handle those winters is quite remarkable.
Did you like our reds? Did you like the Cab Francs? Did you like the Petit Verdot?
I did. Yeah, I did. I love them. And the Sparkling as well.
Yes. Did they tell you about the Okanagan, which is basically what I'm, and of course, Vancouver Island, all of BC. Did they talk about out west?
They did a lot, yep. Yeah. And I've driven through Kelowna. I'm on a bit of a road trip after a friend's wedding, but I haven't spent enough time visiting the wineries on the west coast. So that's the next mission.
Well, you may not want to move again, but it would be great to have you here. The wine fan, they know the name Peter Lehman. They know it. It's a brand. It's branding, as you know, is everything. Was there one particular vintage that the label made its name on, or is it the years' experience, many, many years of one year after another coming in with great releases?
I think there's probably two significant moments in the lifetime of the company that really stood out, that I think really stand out for me. And the first one was obviously when the company was founded, its inception in 1978, 79, when Peter Lehman was sort of going through some very tough times with an oversupply in the industry, and the company that owned the company that he was working for, Saltram, the company that owned Saltram, decided that they didn't want to take any grapes for the following vintage. And Peter Lehman said, well, I can't really do that. I've been working with this company for 20 plus years. These growers, this is their livelihood. So he decided that with backing from some investors that he would be able to take those grapes. He couldn't necessarily pay for them up front, but he could take the grapes, turn it into wine, and then hopefully in a few years' time sell that wine and pay back the growers and really get things going. So that was about 140 growers that really went along this journey with him. And it was a gamble. We all know 40 odd years on that it paid off, but there was a period of about 10 years where the company was really just trying to generate a bit of income to pay those growers. It wasn't necessarily known as producing wines that were really top class quality. And then in 1987, Stonewall Shiraz ended up winning a trophy called the Jimmy Watson Memorial Trophy at the Melbourne Wine Show. And that really put us on the map. So that was, you know, 10 years of hard slog. Peter Lehman, the group that he had with him and the growers were really just battling their way through these really tough times. And then once we won that trophy, the momentum for being a premium, quality-producing, consistent winery sort of started to gain pace. So those two things, I think, for me, yeah, they're the main ones that stand out.
Tim Dolan, the winemaker at Peter Lehman, Barossa Valley, Australia. I made a note here. We have two wines to talk about. Let's talk about the Chardonnay to begin with. But some of my notes, just I want to make sure that they're up to speed. Some 800 vineyards hand-tended. That's a lot of vineyards.
Yep.
What was the growing season like for the Chardonnay 2020, 2021?
2021, I think if you talk to any winemaker or vineyard wine grower in Australia, they will talk about it like it's the greatest vintage they've ever had in their lives. And for me and for the team at Peter Lehman, it's exactly the same. It's just like all the stars aligned. We'd been through 2018, 19, 20, where we'd seen frost, we'd seen heat wave, we'd seen droughts. 2021 came along and it was just great yields, great quality. We could put no foot wrong, and certainly with Chardonnay, that was no exception.
Wow. You can't expect that to happen every time. Of course, you're talking about heat domes, 40 degrees, and we're having an interesting spring summer here, in that it's wet and cooler. But as it turns out, the pattern has been that come June, July, it's all sun, big heat all the way through to September if you're lucky, or October. But there's no guarantees anymore. How are you feeling about what you're currently growing in now, the conditions and what's coming?
Well, I guess, you know, the 2021 and certainly 2022, we were experiencing a La Nina sort of weather pattern. So much cooler conditions throughout the growing season, more average rainfall. Spring was a little bit wetter, so we're not getting spring frosts.
Sure.
All signs point to that we're probably going to swing back to an El Nino weather pattern, which means we're going to go back to those hot, dry, more typical conditions. And so everyone's on their toes a little bit. They're not, you know, so far for 2022, we've had a very wet autumn into winter. So, you know, time will tell. But a lot of us are a little bit hesitant, thinking, hey, we're going to go back to these extreme heat and dry conditions.
Tim Dolan, the winemaker at Peter Lehman, Barossa Valley, Australia. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Unsworth Vineyards is pleased to be part of this year's Cowichan Wine Festival passport-style tasting event. In addition, they will be part of an evening tasting party at Brentwood School August 4th, where you can taste all of the participating wineries in one go under a summer starlit night by the ocean. Details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. New releases coming your way, the long-awaited Soiree, their beautiful fortified red. And this week, the 2021 Heritage Pinot Gris and the Merlot Malbec. New releases from Hillside Winery, Naramata Bench. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. Tim Dolan is here. He's a winemaker, and he's talking about Peter Lehman wines, a Chardonnay and a Shiraz. When the first families came through a couple of years ago, all they were talking about was the Australian Chardonnay's reputation around the world and how it had been overtaken by other countries, the buzz. You guys know how to sell your wines, but the wines seem to have been stuck in a sort of an oak vacuum. And you have a big oak program in terms of your Chardonnay, but you're very particular what you're doing. Take us through that, if you will.
Chardonnay is a great thing because it's so versatile. And, you know, I don't think there's people that are making it completely sans oak. There's people that are making it 100% new French oak with maybe a bit of American oak in there as well. I mean, for us, it's still an experiment. We're still playing around. So for this wine, the 2021, it's 16% new French oak, 29% older French and a little bit of American oak. And then the balance, which is about 55%, is tank fermented. But the most important thing, I think, is that we're spending up to 9 months on lees with regular batonnage. I don't want to smash the wines. I don't want to, you know, be working them so much so that they become overblown. I just want to, you know, probably once a month, just give them a little stir, make sure the sulfur's good, you know, keep them in good condition, because it is Barossa, you know, it's a warm climate, and I think you need to be respectful of that, not make it, you know, too much. It's got to be, have that, a little bit of restraint.
Tim Dolan, the winemaker at Peter Lehman, Barossa Valley. The blending of those two elements, the oak-infused and the stainless steel, is, of course, the key. When do you know when you get there? Where is there?
Oh, that...
And I asked that question, Tim, because some people say, I want that same wine that I had last year. I want it exactly the same this year. Well, you're not going to get it. The land, the earth, the terroir doesn't give it to you, but you, as the winemaker, can actually find a sweet spot.
This wine, out of probably all of the wines that we make at Peter Lamb, which is a lot, is the one I'd be tasting the most. Because if you're making a Riesling or a Semillon, it's fermented in tank, and you're in a race to get it into bottle. That's it. You don't think about it, about retaining that freshness. With the Chardonnay, I'm tasting it probably at least once a month, if not once a fortnight, if I'm at the winery and not traveling, to make sure that the development is going the way that you want. And the great thing, I think, you've got to have a lot of tools in the belt. You've got to have, you know, a lot of things to draw from in terms of parcels in new oak, parcels in older oak, parcels in tank, and then you're basically putting it all together. But as you say, you're not going to get the same consistency year in, year out, because you are battling with Mother Nature.
And that is the art of winemaking right there. That is an art, right? Now, one thing, it's straw colored. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous in the glass, except it's a green bottle. Why? I know it's tradition, but I just kind of wonder why it's still there and why not. Is there an offering? Or do they, once a year, do they talk about maybe doing a clear bottle?
I think it was probably, we do another Chardonnay from the Eden Valley, which is in a similar shape and color bottle. So I think it's probably just that consistency.
Okay.
I certainly wouldn't be adverse to a clear bottle, but it also probably is in keeping with the rest of the Barossa range, which is sort of a bit more of that darker antique green in color.
And you can't miss the nose, Tim. Wonderful ripe fruit in there, a citrus. I saw the note go by about nutmeg. I missed the vanilla, but I got the nutmeg because that's on my espresso every morning. it's a beautiful Chardonnay, and proudly from the Barossa Valley. Is this all floor growings?
All valley floor. Yeah, all valley yes. Floor.
Are you starting to work your way up into altitude to get away from the heat?
We are. Typically, you know, most of the top quality Chardonnay is coming from Eden Valley, which has much higher elevation. Sure. And the sort of soils are a bit more better suited to Chardonnay. But the thing that we focus on with Valley 4 Chardonnay is looking at certain clones. So the Bernard clone makes its way into this blend. Quite a significant portion. So you're looking at a little bit more of that hen and chicken, quite low yielding, and you get great acid retention, which is very important in the Barossa, as we talked about, being quite warm and dry. It's about holding that acidity.
Did they tell you your price point in Canada?
They did. I have it on my computer here. The Barossa and Shiraz is $21.99. I don't have the Chardonnay. I believe it's about that, $19.99.
That's fantastic. You made enough for everyone?
Well, the good thing for you is that it's exclusive in Canada. So it's genuinely not being sold anywhere else in the world at the moment. We've tapped out at about 4,000 dozen. So we've made a little bit more out of 2022 on the hope that we'll get some listings in the UK and possibly Europe and then look domestically. But for the first vintage of this wine, it's actually exclusive throughout Canada.
Are we a testing ground, or did we ask for this? How did that work?
You asked for it. So it's basically off the back of demand. And I was more than happy to help out because, you know, it's been a passion project of mine.
Actually, there's another winery, I think, in Sonoma, Beringer. They also do a Chardonnay specifically for Canada. Weird. That's a great connection. I love it. Listen, we're going to take a quick break here because we're going to come back and talk about the Shiraz. He's Tim Dolan. He is the winemaker at Peter Lehman Barossa. And this is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. New releases coming your way. The long-awaited Soiree. Their beautiful fortified red. And this week, the 2021 Heritage Pinot Gris and the Merlot Malbec. New releases from Hillside Winery. Naramata Bench. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Mooncursor Wine Shop hours are 10 to 5 daily. very happy to report that you have new releases to choose from at Mooncursor. The gorgeous 2021 Roussanne Marsan, the Carmenere 2020, the 2021 Dolcetto, and the 2020 Malbec. Mooncursor, the 2019 Best Performing Small Winery in Canada. All the details you need can be found at mooncursor.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan. If you know your wines at all, even if you're a casual wine fan, you will know the name Peter Lehman Barossa, the Barossan Shiraz. You will know the label. You will know even the cap, for God's sake. It's a very distinctive label and a very distinctive wine. It is unique unto itself, which is, as you well know, having traveled the way you have, to actually have a wine, a Shiraz, for example, from Australia, from anywhere, but Australia in particular, that is distinctive, is just a godsend. You're not like everyone else. You're one of a kind. How did this come about?
So the first vintage of the Barossan Shiraz was 2015, and this was just after John Casella of Yellowtail fame, the managing director, had just purchased Peter Lehman at the end of 2014. So he was keen to make his mark on the company, and he was very quick to trademark the name The Barossan, which I think, typifies exactly what Peter Lehman was all about. He was sixth generation Barossan. He'd been making wine in the Barossa for, 40-odd years. He's known as the saviour of the Barossa. He's put the Barossa and Australian wine on the map globally. So all things sort of led to this wine in the Barossan, and we launched in 2015 with Shiraz. And the idea behind it was that it would be, I think, an iron fist wrapped in a velvet glove, so that you get all the power that we know Barossa Shiraz delivers, but you get a beautiful, soft, elegant finish. It's not going to blow your socks off. It's not 16% alcohol. That's not the way we wanted to go. It was about drinkability.
Sure.
And I think that's the main focus for this wine, is freshness, drinkability and approachability.
And good barrel work.
Lots of barrel work.
A lot of new barrel.
About 25% new American oil, right, and then the balance into older oak. So all aged in 300-litre hogsheads.
And how was the growing season for this 2019 Shiraz?
2019 is regarded as a very good quality vintage. It was quite hot, quite dry, so the yields were way down on average.
But you got some rain. You got some rain along the way, did you not?
There was a little bit of rain, so that kind of helped things. We often see a little bit of rain in summer into early autumn, and that usually freshens things up. That's quite regular. You don't want too much rain, obviously, at that point, so everyone's sort of on tenterhooks, but the thing was that sort of cools things down a little bit. It allows grapes to freshen up. And the quality out of 2019, particularly for reds and Shiraz, is exceptional. So this wine, I don't typically say, age this wine for a long period of time, but 2019, with the quality that it is, I'd probably go at least 5 to 8 years for this wine.
Tim Dolan, the winemaker at Peter Lehman, Barossa Valley, Australia. I noticed there was a mention of food pairing with it, because we're in a barbecue season now, and it was recommended, I think, a beef burger. I didn't understand some of the Australian terminology for the side plate stuff that was supposed to be around. I think crackers were involved. but you know how we here eat in Canada. It's mac and cheese, it's burgers, it's salmon, it's steak. It has its place. I mean, it's a Shiraz, for Pete's sake. It travels well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of my favorite foods, when I like to spoil myself, is get a Scotch fillet and put it on the barbecue, medium rare, and just keep it really simple with some roast vegetables. I think, you can't really go wrong. So that's my go-to.
I miss you hiccuped when you mentioned the food. What did you want to put on the barbecue?
Oh, sorry, just a Scotch fillet.
Oh, yes. Which this might be a little heavy for salmon, but I mean, if you're crusting it and barbecuing it and giving it some smoke, why not? We're going into barbecue season. and with salmon season as well, just the water's right there. This is not exclusive to Canada. This is a worldwide wine, is it not?
Yeah, it's available globally. You can pretty much find it everywhere, and quite predominantly in the, on the domestic market.
I was saying that it is, it's, I actually talked to myself when I first tasted it, and I thought, and I understand this now. I understand. I remember talking to Peter a long time ago. I understand why it's so successful, again, because it's distinctive. It's singular. And there are thousands of wines in the world. If you can become a singular wine, you have absolutely hit the jackpot. And you have. It's fantastic. Is it difficult in the blend? Is it a painstaking process?
Well, it's funny you say that, because we're actually blending this, the 2022 of this wine, this morning. So after I jump off this interview, I'll be going straight into the tasting lab, and it's going to take about a day to put all the components together, and then from there it's back in barrel for 14, 15 months.
So Tim, what's the democracy in that day? Who actually makes that final call?
There's four winemakers, and it's completely democratic. So we all have a 25% say. As you can imagine, the debate can get heated. Most of us are pretty diplomatic, but sometimes the foot gets put down. we're quite strong in our opinions from time to time. So yeah, it can take a while. But so, this is a big blend, so there's a lot of components going.
And the next one coming up is even better, I would assume. They all just get better and better. Now, is there anything coming that you want to tell us about, you want to tease us about?
You know, we're going to be pretty strong with the Barossa and Chardonnay. So that's the next phase, is to continue the growth of Barossa and Chardonnay, particularly throughout Canada.
Yeah.
We've got a portrait Shiraz, which is probably in Canada $3 or $4 cheaper than the Barossa and Shiraz, that we're going to look to relaunch. We've got some new packaging for that wine, and that's sort of a quintessential classic Peter Lehman, a little bit less oak, slightly fresher. And then we've also the long-time players, which is Layers White and Layers Red, which have been around throughout Canada since, I think, about 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
They're looking to be extended along with the Barossa range, so throughout Canada. So looking at sort of a bit more of a play with the distribution footprint, but supply chain issues make things pretty challenging at this time. So, everyone's trying their best, but it's going to be a challenge for the next 12 months at least.
What is the price point on the Peter Lehman Barossa, the Barossa and Shiraz 2019?
$20.99.
I'm sorry, you must be wrong. You said $20.99?
Yep.
How is that possible? How is that possible?
That's what we're all about here, Terry. It's that, value for
no
money.
No kidding. Okay. I am truly impressed, because I get asked every day of every week, we're going to find a great wine that doesn't come. Bang me over the head. I've just found two of them.
Thank you.
Well done. Listen, go and do your blending and your all that stuff, and have yourself a great growing year. And please come back. When you come back, when they ask you to go back to Canada, say, I would like to go to the Okanagan and stay for a couple of weeks and taste the Syrah and Shiraz up and down there, and the Petit Verdot over there, and we'll pour it for you.
I mean, it's just such a beautiful part of the world, particularly the West Coast. I would love to come back and particularly get stuck into your wines, because I think they've come a long way.
Thank you for your time, Tim, and thank you for your art. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. It's been great chatting.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Mooncursor Wine Shop hours are 10 to 5 daily. Very happy to report that you have new releases to choose from at Mooncursor. The gorgeous 2021 Roussanne Marsan, the Carmenere 2020, the 2021 Dolcetto, and the 2020 Malbec. Mooncursor, the 2019 best performing small winery in Canada. All the details you need can be found at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio was brought to you by The Hatch and JPC Customs. The Hatch is holding a Hobothon. Their Hobo Series Cab Franc and Gamay are being poured right now. Crown and Thieves are not to be outdone. They're pouring their second release of Peaky Blinders. The first year sold out, and their goo is going as well. And Wednesday the 27th, it's Fast Wines at Crown and Thieves High. Three courses and three wines for $60. Truck 59 has Music Bingo going, and their canned cider peach pie, just $1. And at Black Swift, the frenzies are flying out the door. Oh, by the way, check out the Meritage called Dino Juice. And I give you this one heads up. You might want to hang around August the 8th for a special guest joining Proper Man. All the details at jpcfanclub.com. Welcome back. Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. My thanks to Tim Dolan and Peter Lehman for enlightening us as to what was going on in the Barossa and with their wineries. And especially the wines being made specifically for Canada and British Columbia. Now, how do we finish this? I'm three segments into a four-segment show, and I went, how do we finish this off properly? It should be another Australian interview. And of course, when you think of Australia, at least I do, I immediately think of Mark Davidson, because he is the voice and the reason and the educator behind the wines of Australia. That's his job. That's his career. I think it's 15 years now he's been doing that, probably even longer. And the job is taking him to exotic locales like San Francisco and Vancouver and now Des Moines, Iowa, because he fell in love with a Des Moines girl and he's a happy guy. I went back and found Mark Davidson. We think it was Top Drop, maybe 2019 or 2018. And he was pouring wines of Australia. And off to the side were Brendan Keyes, who makes BK wines, handmade wines in Australia, and Matt Foles, who was pouring his two wines, Ladies Who Shoot Their Lunch and Are You Game? Ladies Who Shoot Their Lunch, specifically to go with game meals. And especially, I mean, if you're talking about game in Australia, it's roux. So Brendan Keyes will be along for the ride, as will Matt Foles, but we're really here because we want to hear the voice and the textured tones of one of the great voices, educators in wine today, Mark Davidson, the pride of Des Moines, Iowa. Mark Davidson, we slept together three or four nights.
We did.
On a fishing trip.
Your snoring woke me up.
Thank you for reminding me of that. First of all, talk about your involvement with Wines of Australia, and then tell us about this event.
Sure. I've been with, my history in Vancouver has been working as a sommelier, but for the last 4 or 5 years I've been working with Wine Australia, currently the education director for Wine Australia globally, but mostly focused on North America. So what we're doing and what we've been kind of doing as a sort of an industry supporting body is getting people to sort of just maybe take a look again at Australia and sort of see it for what really is existing rather than maybe some of the preconceived ideas they had.
One of the things was the success of Wines of Australia. Well, first of all, here in Canada, in Vancouver in particular, they literally stormed the market. Then they had to deal with everybody else that was coming after them.
Yeah, I generally like to look forward right now, but if we do want to look back, I think what we did well was we had to get people to understand we made wine. Because Australia was, you know, think of the Monty Python skit from the 70s, you know, Chateau Wagga Wagga, wines to be laid down and avoided. That's what, there wasn't much of a market presence at all. And then in the 80s, we came storming in with fun, affordable, easy drinking wines. I don't know that we developed that story very well in the sense that beyond those affordable wines, we've got this raft of regionally expressive, really cool, very interesting wines that maybe we didn't talk about enough. And I think that's really what we're talking about now. And yes, there's new and innovative stuff happening, which you saw a portion of today, but there's also classic things that I don't think we spoke well enough of. So
then you had to have spokespeople, you had to have representatives of the wine growing industry. Why Matt? Why Brendan?
I liked what these guys are doing specifically. First of all, they're the two winemakers that are in town, but I like specifically what they're doing, because I think that talks about sort of the Australia today. Brendan with what he's doing up in Adelaide Hills with, I mean, we tried a skin-aged Sauvignon, you know, a skin-contact Sauvignon. What Matt's doing with I think, very innovative labeling and his concept with his wines. But never mind that. He's talking about cool climate Shiraz, which I think is a lovely story to tell.
So. Hello, Matt.
How are you doing?
Welcome.
Thank you.
I was wandering through probably another tasting somewhere and saw the label, Ladies Who Shoot Their Lunch. And being the son of a game warden, it immediately had my attention. So can we define game, first of all, because you're making wines that are meant to be paired with game. So what are we talking? We're talking roux?
Yeah, sure. Roux, specifically any meat from the wild. So it's the condition in which it's grown, not the species. So when it's grown in the wild, lower energy inputs, and there's a density to the flesh that's different, and an intensity to the meat in terms of aroma and flavor that's different.
It's what people say, this is really gamey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But it's also flavors they're not used to. If you're trying hare as a meat, it's very different to lamb, or kangaroo is very different to venison. And so there's a difference in wild meat, specifically texture, but also intensity. And we just look to modify the way we make the wine to complement that texture and intensity in the game.
Well, here, deer, bear, deer, moose, elk, Canada goose, pheasant, duck. I mean, we're truly blessed here. These wines will work with those.
Absolutely, yeah. So for me, it's all about that intensity of aroma. So it stands up next to game. The aromatics are very proud in both the meat and the wine. And then, when you're eating game, it can be quite challenging to the palate, as you'd well know.
Yeah.
And so you don't want a big extracted wine to overload your palate. We want quite a supple structure that'll sit alongside the food, let the food be the hero, and have the wine alongside it.
So the difference between ladies who shoot their lunch and are you game?
Uh-huh.
Tell me about the difference between the two labels.
So ladies who shoot their lunch is specifically for the texture of wild meat, whereas Are You Game is just a food-friendly wine. There's quite a significant price difference. One's $39.99, ladies who shoot their lunch. The other's $23.99, Are You Game. And so we source some fruit from the valley floor. We're in a mountain range on the Strathbogie Ranges. And with Are You Game, we source some fruit from the valley floor. So we're looking for probably more consistency in style, but it is absolutely about food. So next to wines of a similar price, it'll be fresher in acid than those other wines, which is the major building block between food and wine matching.
And then you should describe, by the way, because you might take it for granted because you live there. Tell us about those ranges. Tell us about your area and how different it is.
The Strathbogie Ranges are a remarkable place. So we're in the northeast of Victoria, and it's a very rocky granite area. 400 million year old soil and these massive granite boulders as big as a house that we hunt around. But all the soil is washed away and leaving these pillars exposed, and we're actually sitting on a granite bedrock. So it's an incredibly tough environment to grow grapes. But for grapes, that's great because what it means is the vine's struggling and it's building intensity in the fruit.
Cool. How many of these wines are we going to see in Alberta, British Columbia?
So with Ladies Who Shoot Their Lunch, we've had Chardonnay and Shiraz. With Are You Game, we've had Shiraz and Cabernet, and hopefully we'll see a white soon. So in and out, five or so.
You have a website?
Fowleswine.com.
Fowles.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matt.
Pleasure.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
All right, stepping up to the microphone is Brendan Keyes. It says in his bio, is a Kiwi, was a DJ, was a chef, now a winemaker. Is that correct, or is that just marketing?
No, that's all correct. My first love was always food. When I left school, I applied for the English School of Catering with the New Zealand Navy.
Right.
And there was a 3-year waiting list. So I needed to go and find something else to do. So I ended up going snowboarding.
All right. Where?
And down in Awakuni or Mount Ruapehu. And from there, I started cooking in restaurants in the evening so I could snowboard during the day.
Of course.
And then snowboarding led me to living in the French Alps, where I found and discovered wine, just gone from there.
What was your DJ handle?
DJ BK.
Okay.
Keep it simple.
Okay. And so the BK wines make sense.
Yep.
So tell us about your pours today.
We only poured one, which was the Skin and Bones White, which is
Sav?
Sauvignon, which is the
80%.
80% Sauvignon with a little bit of Chardonnay, 20%. It's an interesting variety. No one else was really doing it in Australia. So I've got a love of the wines from Jura anyway, and seeing that there was an opportunity to make wine in Australia from that grape that's been traditionally grown in Jura, I was all so excited about it. And yeah, so that was the wine today. I was really happy with it.
We're speaking with Brendan Keyes, who is up in the Adelaide Hills. Handmade wines, by the way, is what we're talking about from BK Wines. Can we see any of this now, any of your BK wines?
No, this is the first time these wines have ever been in
So here's
in
the deal.
Canada.
Normally, we don't talk to people who don't have wines because it just is the audience.
Yeah.
So do you have to increase production? Do you have to find representation?
I'm just having a meeting across the table about representation as we speak.
Sorry, don't let me get in the way of commerce.
No, not at all. So, and I think I'm excited about this market.
You're doing something with Skin Contact. What is it?
Yeah, so this the Sauvignon is called Skin and Bones. I do two wines called Skin and Bones. And basically, it's extended time on skins and then bone dry. So I thought Skin and Bones was appropriate.
Tell them about your website.
Website is bkwines.com.au. In the corner of the webpage, it has what we're listening to that day in the winery.
That's right. I don't notice that. Brendan Keyes, BK Wines, Adelaide Hills. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. It's brilliant to talk. Right. Thank you.
Australia. Tell you that here's the heads up. This is what they're doing. This is what they're pouring. Go find them. Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio was brought to you by The Hatch and JPC Customs. The Hatch is holding a Hobothon. Their Hobo Series Cab Franc and Gamay are being poured right now. Crown and Thieves are not to be outdone. They're pouring their second release of Pinky Blinders. The first year sold out, and their goo is going as well. And Wednesday the 27th, it's Fast Wines at Crown and Thieves High. Three courses and three wines for $60. Truck 59 has Music Bingo going, and their canned cider peach pie, just $1. And at Black Swift, the frenzies are flying out the door. Oh, by the way, check out the Meritage called Dino Juice. And I give you this one heads up. You might want to hang around August the 8th for a special guest joining Proper Man. All the details at jpcfanclub.com. This edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience. Safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. And just a reminder that the very popular flights from downtown Vancouver to the El Dorado on Okanagan Lake have been reinstituted by Harbor Air. You can find them at harborair.com.